Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have a favorite coffee shop or restaurant or, fast food outlet that you go to? Anybody have some favorite haunts? Wonderful. Awesome. You go to her place. Is the cooking pretty good there? It is. Awesome. Now, when you go there, because it's one of your favorite places, do you recognize, are there other familiar faces? Sometimes. Depends how often you go. Exactly. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is the coffee shop. And I want to thank you for coming on this snowy day. And today you will learn why Jesus had to go through Samaria. You will learn a bit about those people Jesus asks us to say hello to, and why we need to carefully look at the stories we tell about ourselves and others, and about the news we see, that they reflect and are consistent with God's stories of love and kindness and justice for the world. Can I tell you about a little bit about my life and one of my favorite places? Absolutely, thank you. One of my favorite fast food places is Dairy Queen. Now, I don't know about you, love ice cream. I love blizzards. So much so that even in the cold weather, I have to go a few times just to get my fix. But if I'm ever feeling a little down, rushed, or frazzled, it's off to Dairy Queen I go. Because life is better after a blizzard. Don't you think so? Life is definitely better after a blizzard. Now, not that I was frazzled on Thursday, but on Thursday, for the heck of it, I stopped into DQ in Waterdown on the way home. And while I was there, I noticed a young family. Three children, a mom, and a grandmother. It sounded like they were coming from swim lessons. And they spoke another language. The kids were all excited, and why wouldn't they be? They're getting ice cream. And I went, we really are a multicultural country, which is wonderful. So today, I want you to think about some of your favorite stopping points, whether it's the coffee shop, the gym, the YWCA, a restaurant. What do you like about that place? Who do you see? And are there some people who come regularly like you do? And you learn anything while you're there. Does that make sense? What are your favorite haunts? Find someone around you and share that with them. Go. Please stop. Thank you. We can share haunts later, what the good restaurants are or the best fries in town. Now, I asked you to do that today because in Jesus' day, the community well was one of the local haunts, right? Local coffee shop where people came not only to get water, but to share stories and find out information. Now, in the past 2 weeks, I've been sharing with you some information from the book, The Church as Movement, Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities. Can you put it up, John? Hopefully you can see this picture here. And the first week, if you remembered, we talked about 2 weeks ago, who do you eat with? And that symbol for eating was either the front porch or the table. How do you get to know the people around you where you live? Then we moved on to the path. You notice the pathway. And last week's message was entitled, Getting from A to B with Your Eyes Wide Open. What are your regular pathways you travel each week? And what do you notice as you do so? Are you dialed out? You know, are you on autopilot? Or are you dialed in? Noticing the people and the places around you. When you go to work, the grocery store, when you even buy your groceries. Do you say hello to the person ahead or behind you in line? Today, we will explore the idea of pivot points, places where you hang out regularly, be it the coffee shop, the bus stop, the library, the gym, and next week we'll try and package it all together. You see that word parish up the top. The parish being a manageable section of our city that we feel some sense of responsibility for and ownership for. So I hope this makes some sense to you. And you may be saying, okay, Al, why are we doing this? Well, just as Jesus was sent to a particular time and place to be God's Word made flesh, so are we. And this neighborhood is our time and place. Do you remember the old saying, grow where you are? Planted. Absolutely. Thank you. And God has planted us here for a purpose. So we need to work on that. Now, in Jesus' day and age, as I mentioned, the neighborhood coffee shop was the well. It was the place where people regularly went to get water, something to drink, but to catch up on community news. Did you hear about Mrs. So-and-so? Wasn't that too bad? I hope somebody helps her. What about... not that any of you are aware of... But there was also other things. There would be news from other towns and communities and other parts of the world from the caravans. So it was the place to exchange news. Now... Have you ever skipped over something? Anybody here ever skipped over anything? The introduction to the book? How many read the introduction to the book? I usually skip over that. Anybody here tape their TV programs? You do? Do you skip over the commercials? Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point of taping them, right? Don't want to do that. You know? This story of the woman at the well, when it is told, we usually skip over the first four verses. Well, no pun intended, these verses give you the story on why Jesus is in Samaria in the first place. Jesus hears some rumblings about his ministry. So he decides to leave Judea and go back to Galilee. On his way there, it says he had to go through Samaria. Have you ever had to do something? Was that a good feeling or a bad feeling? Usually for me, it's not a good feeling. You know, when I have to do something, clean out the garage, take out the garbage, a number of things. Well, you need to know, as a matter of fact, Jesus did not have to go through Samaria. As a matter of fact, most Jews would skip over Samaria, even though it meant going miles out of their way on foot. You see, Samaritans were considered offensive, unclean. They were a mixed race of people that followed a false religion orientated around an alternative temple, not the one in Jerusalem. There was some bad history between the Jews and Samaritans, the last flare-up being 400 years ago. Okay, this goes back a ways, when the exiles returned to build the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the Greek word translated had to in John's Gospel, it means in John's Gospel that this is associated with God's plan. It is an indication of divine direction and intention. Fred Craddock, a New Testament professor, points out that Jesus going through Samaria is a theological statement. What kind of statement? Thank you. Theological. It puts flesh and bones on the theology that God so loved the whole world. How much of the world? Yeah, not just part of it. And that we were all children of God, not just some of us. When Jesus had to go through Samaria, it is an analogy that to live in God's way and be a follower of Jesus, more often than not, God directs us along the more difficult path. Not the easy one, the hard one, where we have to bump into some of those people. Do you know who I mean when I say those people? Thank you. Now, those people do not have to be people of a different race, class, or religion. As a matter of fact, some of those people may be even in your own extended family. Just like Jews and Samaritans. You go back far enough, they were of one family. Now, does anyone here, now be honest, don't look around at who's putting up their hand, okay? Does anyone try and avoid some people at their extended family gatherings? Thank you, I saw a few hands. Thank you for being honest. You know, those people. Let me tell you about Donald, hopefully. And if you ever meet Donald, don't say, oh, Alan told me about you, okay? Don't do that, you know? Maybe you've noticed I'm not that tall, right? You know, I'm a little on the shorter side. Every time I see Donald, he says, have you grown yet? I'm saying, like, come on, really? Get a new opening line. You know, I'm 60 years old, you know? The last time he saw me, he said, I must be shrinking, you know? Oh, you must be getting old. Exactly. Thank you for the sigh. So if Donald's heading to the barbecue, guess what I do? I wait. You know, I'm not going up to the barbecue the same time Donald's there. You know, when I come into the backyard, if he's sitting on that side, where do I go? Thank you. Now, actually, I have figured out I don't want to be right across the backyard because he might see me. And then what's he going to do? Yeah, he's going to come over and talk to me. You know, I figured best is to sit halfway on this side, you know, so he doesn't see me very easily. And he's too far away that I do not have to talk to him. Surely somebody else does that here, right? I hope so. Maybe it's at the office party. Maybe it's at a sports banquet. Okay, maybe it's at school events, but there's some people that rub you the wrong way. Well, in this passage of scripture where Jesus starts a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the local coffee shop, God is challenging us to go beyond our comfort zone to say hello and strike up a conversation with, of all people, Donald. You know, those people. Can I have a drink of water, please? And instead of becoming bastions of isolation, we are called to follow Jesus and engage directly with others in our community. Those people. Samaritans to Jews were those people. Did you know that loneliness is becoming an epidemic in today's world? Thank you. As followers of Jesus, we're called to try and help do something about that by saying hello to people. I love Chuck Swindoll's description of loneliness. Listen, I'm going to have you repeat the end of it. Tears fall from our eyes as groans fall from our lips, but loneliness, the uninvited guest of the soul, arrives at dusk and stays for dinner. Maybe I'll just repeat it. It's a little long. Loneliness, the uninvited guest of the soul, arrives at dusk and does what? Thank you. Stays for dinner. In our modern world, we have become very good at building walls. Us versus them. Them being anyone who looks different than us, dresses different than us, has a different religious background, a different worldview, might be conservative or liberal, you know, gay, straight. We have become good at building walls to isolate us from problems or protect us from any pain. Do you think it'll work? Do you think building a wall will prevent you from experiencing pain? No. Pain is a universal constant, and it always manages to find its way in. It may not visit us every day, but we all have aches of the soul. God challenges us to build bridges, not walls. God challenges us to see our common humanity and help one another, support one another, cry with one another. That is the antidote to pain. Getting to know others, not walls, but bridges between us. Henry Nouwen challenges us to befriend our brokenness because it gives us the courage to be vulnerable with one another. I'm scared about that too. Or I know what it's like to lose a close friend or be betrayed. That helps to build bridges. Does anyone here ever go curling, past or present? Anybody been curling? Thank you, a few of you. Awesome. Curling clubs are other pivot points in our communities. Okay? On the game, on the ice, or after the game, sort of chat with others, covering everything from what's happening in your life to world events. Last week, an incredible, positive, and upbeat person said this about Kobe Bryant's death. I guess God needed another basketball team in heaven. I go, whoa. 9 people were killed in that crash, including Kobe's daughter, Guyana, who was also a good basketball player. At the time, I didn't say anything. I might next week. Such a statement goes along with the one Cameron Trimble refuted regarding the Australian wildfires that I sent out with my email a week ago. That's not the kind of God I believe in. Yes, this is a tragedy, but God had nothing to do with it, and God certainly doesn't need a basketball team in heaven. If you continue reading the rest of that fourth chapter, part of Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well was about how we understand God. And so we, like Jesus, are called to challenge misunderstandings of God at the coffee shop banter, just as Jesus did at the well. Coffee shop banter. Things that happen in the news, how do we respond to them? What stories do we tell about them? Coronavirus. Can you put up Cameron's slide, please? This was Cameron Trimble's slide from this week. She asks us to rethink the stories we tell ourselves of love, heartbreak, violence and peace, belonging and desertion, because such stories determine how we live, love, and treat others. What stories are you telling yourself? What stories are you repeating to others? Do they reflect the story of God's love and care, grace, compassion, justice for the world? The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with God at the center. If we are true to our faith and love our neighbors as Jesus did, we love them no matter their country of origin, no matter the color of their skin, no matter their financial status or sexual orientation. We love people no matter what their religious or spiritual tradition or no spiritual tradition at all. We actively work for everyone's well-being and our community's well-being, not because my neighbor is or will become a Christian. I love my neighbor because I am a Christian. Do you notice the difference? I love my neighbor because I am a Christian, and I have to live this out because God has loved me. What story do I need to tell myself and reflect to the world when I take my seat at the well beside Jesus in the local coffee shop? God has loved you. God loves you now and will always love you. Strangely enough, God loves your enemy. God loves your enemies now and will always love your enemies. God also loves those people. Dan White, co-author of The Church's Movement, who also wrote Love Over Hate, in the book he says he hangs out at a particular coffee shop. As he says, it would be easy for me to hide out in the back corner and sip my espresso. Instead, over the years, do you hear that? Over the years, I've had to learn to make introductions, ask questions, acknowledge and engage others, and remember names. A barista once asked me, "Are you a counselor or something?" It was an interesting observation, Dan replied. And I said, "No, not really. I just like to know who people are." His response was branded in Dan's mind. "Well, no one likes to do that anymore, do they?" Wow. Imagine a world or a coffee shop or a well where people knew one another's names, listened to their stories, and actually cared. What are we waiting for? Amen. Our next hymn is from the Soft Covered More Voices, 154. Deep in our hearts, there is a common vision, 154.